asked Dr. Nelson about some of the projects he was currently working on with regard to the development of facial recognition.
One of the things our lab focuses on is, in fact, the role of experience in sculpting these neural systems that become specialized for face processing. And one way we do that is we have either manipulate experience or we look at infants or children with different types of experience. We've done studies looking at the recognition or the discrimination of monkey faces or unfamiliar race faces or unfamiliar age faces. Turns out that adults, for example, are best at discriminating faces, human faces, first of all, and second, faces from a familiar race, usually their own race, and third, faces that are of a comparable age to them. So we're actually showing that adults cannot discriminate monkey faces very well, they cannot discriminate newborn human faces very well, and they cannot discriminate faces that differ from their own race very well. All of this is different early in life. So in this line of work, we've demonstrated that below 6 months, infants can discriminate monkey faces as easily as human faces, and that they don't show an age bias or a race bias, all of which suggests that this develops with time and experience.
It was interesting to hear that the facial recognition abilities we have as adults is not present early in life. So I asked Dr. Nelson to tell me more about face processing in young infants.
Before 3 or 4 months, babies seem to treat objects no differently than faces and vice versa. That is, faces to a 3 or 4 month old might be just another class of objects. But starting around 3 to 4 months, there's a big shift, and here's one way we know that. If you discriminate 2 upright faces and then 2 upside-down faces, you're much worse at upside-down faces. A 2-month-old is as good at upside-down faces as they are upright faces, but after 3 or 4 months, suddenly they show what we call the face inversion effect. That is, now they start to show impairments in discriminating 2 upside-down faces. And what that tells us is that it's around this age that infants have this, we'll call it a mental representation of what a face should look like, and it should be in a certain orientation. And that before that, it doesn't matter, but now after this age, it does matter. And that's one way that we see face and object processing starting to deviate at around 3 to 4 months of age.
At this point, I was curious to know if Dr. Nelson had investigated whether a lack of or minimal face exposure in early life affected facial recognition abilities later on in development.
We also look at conditions of deprivation. So if you're deprived of seeing faces, and one way we have done that is we work in institutions in Romania where children are institutionalized at birth and they spend the first 12 months of life lying on a crib staring at a white ceiling with almost no contact with caregivers and with no children. And the question is, does this sort of selective deprivation lead to impairments? And so far, it doesn't appear to. And we were surprised at first because we thought that they don't really see faces very often. But there was a very important animal project published a few months ago from Japan where they reared rhesus monkeys from birth with never seeing faces. And at a different point in development, 6 months, 12 months, 24 months, the deprivation ended and they immediately looked to see if the monkey could discriminate 2 human faces or 2 monkey faces. And they could, which surprised us.
Dr. Nelson then told me about how the researchers did a subsequent experiment with 2 groups of infant monkeys, where one group was selectively raised seeing only human faces but no monkey faces, and the other group was selectively raised seeing only monkey faces but not human faces. So given these selective early life experiences, could the monkeys still discriminate both human and monkey faces later on in development?
If the monkeys saw only monkey faces, they completely lost the ability to discriminate human faces. So that goes back to the issue that, first, it didn't seem to take much experience to get this system developed, but once experience started to occur, it greatly influenced the development of that system. And second, it suggests, in our case, that even seeing a few faces, even if it's not for very long, was probably sufficient to get a coarse face recognition system up and running. By coarse meaning to tell one face from another or one emotion from another. But we don't think it's going to be sufficient for more complex face recognition skills, such as my ability to say, you look like you're feeling angry with me right now, or you look like someone I can trust. Those are the things that we're now looking at these children when they're 8 years old.
Now that we had touched on the subject of emotion recognition, I wondered if development of facial discrimination is influenced by emotional attachment to particular faces. So I asked Dr. Nelson whether he'd investigated this question.
About 10 years ago, a former student of mine who's now at the Institute of Child Health in London did a study looking at the discrimination of a mother's face and a stranger's face in 6-month-olds. And we showed all these differential patterns of brain activity, primarily focused over the right temporal lobe, showing that they could tell the two apart. But what we didn't know is, was it because they were simply different and one was more familiar, the mother's face, or was it because there was an affective significance of the mother's face? So we never knew whether that differential brain response was because the mother was special or it was just the mother was familiar. So we did a study that went as follows. I had these artificial heads made by an artist. So these were like mannequin heads, except very, very realistic. If you look at them from a distance, you think it's just the real head. It's from the neck up. At 2 months, we brought these heads to the baby's home on a moving stand. So the parents were instructed to move the head around the house so the baby always had access to the head and to leave it in the baby's bedroom when the baby went to sleep at night. So one group of babies got 1 full month of exposure to these heads, and one group of babies did not. We brought them in at 3 months of age, and we tested their brain responses again. And we asked them to discriminate a picture of the face that had followed them around their house versus a novel face. And the brain activity was dramatically different in the experiential group versus the non-experiential group, so that the brain activity in the group of infants that had seen these heads in the home was exactly like what we had seen in the mother-stranger manipulation, suggesting that in this case, early on, it's simply perceptual familiarity. But we have no doubt that over time, particularly after 6 months when there's this attachment relationship that develops between the infant and the caregiver, that the affective nature of that relationship will sculpt face perception. And one way to infer this is, again, from studies of deprivation. If you look at children whose mothers are depressed or children who have histories of institutionalization when they're school age, 7 or 8 years old, they do show impairments in processing facial emotion, suggesting that there's something about that affective relationship. And finally, a former student, again, Michelle DeHaan, showed that infants who had more sensitive mothers, that is, were more sensitive to the child's needs, were better at discriminating facial expressions than infants who had less sensitive mothers. So the infants are probably learning something in this social context between themselves and their caregivers.
So overall, it appears that we need plenty of early life experiences with faces for us to effectively learn to discriminate different faces later on, and also to be able to distinguish different emotional expressions. So my final question to Dr. Nelson was, when exactly do we need to pack in all this experience?
We're not quite sure precisely when it occurs. We think, though, it's probably in the first 4 to 6 months. And here's one way we have inferred this. There's a line of work being done at McMaster University on infants born with cataracts who have the cataracts removed at different points in development. And even if an infant has the cataracts removed at, say, 4 months, their visual development improves dramatically. They recover most of their visual function. But even later in life, they still show very subtle deficits in face processing in what's called second-degree relations, which might be the relationship between the distance between the two eyes and the mouth, for example. They have a hard time processing that subtle information. Now, functionally, we don't know if that makes a big difference, but it is intriguing that they show that deficit even when the cataracts are removed, say, at 4 months. So there's something about those first few months, and my bet is that it's probably between 2 and 6 months that there's a sensitive period. Again, with our monkey faces, 6-month-olds could discriminate the monkey faces, but 9-month-olds could not. We think of this as perceptual narrowing, and the same thing goes on in speech perception. Infants at 6 months can discriminate the speech contrast from any language in the world, but by 9 to 12 months, they can discriminate only those in their native language environment. But with experience, you can wedge that back open. So we think that there's a similar developmental trajectory here. The way we normally think of development is adding things, but in the context of face processing, we think it's actually subtracting things, and that there's a narrowing that goes on over time.